What's today's date, Dave?
July 24th.
July 21st. It's Thursday.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Shut up.
Thursday today.
Let me just say that I appreciate all the birthday wishes that I've received, save for the one birthday wish that I got when I came into the office. So just so everybody's up to
speed. It's on Twitter.
You tweeted it?
It's out. I think
the CBS Fantasy Football account tweeted it.
God, it was amazing.
Okay, so this morning I wake up and my wife tries to get me in like this positive frame of mind. It's your birthday. People are happy. Why don't you try and just, you know, be happy too? So I said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to embrace the day. I'm going to say something very nice and sincere to everybody who wishes me a happy birthday. Like, the very first person I thought of was Jamie. And I was going to go up to Jamie and give him a big hug and say, I am so glad that I work with you.
Oh, man, I missed the hug.
I did that to Jamie today anyway. I do that once a month.
And I was going to do that to everybody who in the office, on Twitter, whatever.
Even hug if everybody? It's,
I'd hug anybody.
I believe that.
I might have even kissed Jamie.
Yeah.
But I walk in, and so there's a door that you'll walk through before you even get to our reception area. And on the stupid door is a picture of me. It's like a wanted sign from like the Wild West with my picture on it, and it says, "If you see this fantasy writer,
have you seen this fantasy writer?
Wish him a happy birthday." It took less than 1 second for me to see it and tear it down, like in stride, rip it off the door.
We knew that was going to happen.
I thought to myself,
"Did you check the other doors?
Yes, I did, and they weren't there. I didn't
Not
see
yet.
Them there.
Nah, just that, oh, okay. just that one.
So I walk in, and I go, well, that's a stupid thing that they did. I don't know why they did that. That was easy for me to tear down. And I get to my desk, and it looks like like Rainbow Bright and her little gang of thugs decorated my – it looked like my daughter decorated my desk. Tons of balloons everywhere,
so
including
awesome.
This big rainbow arch of happiness.
There was 25 balloons.
That's
Mylar balloons.
Felt like 50.
You put pictures of me on the balloons.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me with Jake the Snake on one of the balloons.
Yes.
They're all over my desk. The balloons are tied to my water mug, my phone, my mouse, the little pad that I have by my keyboard. They were in the drawers of my desk, Adam.
Yeah,
there were balloons in the drawers.
That was a good touch.
I went nuts. Yeah, like this whole positive attitude that I had went straight out the window. I got yelled at by our boss because I was acting, quote, like a child.
You refused to sit at your desk for the day.
I was going to walk out of the building.
Yeah, he was pretty mad.
I was actually, my thought on your reaction was going to be that you're going to see the sign on the door, get mad about that because that's something everybody would see. And then when you saw the balloons, you'd be angry for a second, but then laugh, realizing that, A, we wasted so much time doing that.
I didn't know who did it.
And oh, come on.
At the time, I didn't. I thought it was Adam and Jeff.
Oh, no, no.
And then I realized it was somebody far more sinister.
It was
Jamie Eisenberg.
It was a group effort.
Let's.
Well, thank you for the effort. It was fun to pop those balloons.
Let's talk football. Old faces in new places. So guys who have changed teams, what can we expect from them? Watch fantasy football today. Still can watch our Hooters draft special. It was pretty awesome. And we've got about 100 entries already for the podcast league. So if you missed it, you have until Wednesday of next week. Just give us the four names of the Hooters girls on the video and put Football Podcast League in the subject line and send your email to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Are you aware that one of those Hooters girls is Miss Hooters International?
Yeah.
She just won. Congratulations.
Insert name here.
Insert name here.
And do not put a fantasy question in those emails. It won't get read on the air. Kansas City signed Jamaal Charles. Ray Rice suspended for 2 games. Justin Blackmon arrested again.
Should we actually talk about this stuff?
Yeah. I'm just teasing. And later on, things our listeners like about Dave from
now,
Twitter.
We talk about this in every podcast, but I want to talk about it again. Fantasy draft party.
Yeah.
Boston, mm-hmm. August 23rd. There's going to be one in Pittsburgh, too, the weekend before, but I'm honing in on the one in Boston.
Me, too.
Adam, tell everybody why, if you live on the East Coast, you should go to the draft party.
Because it's a fantasy party! Go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty for more. All right, we're going to be there. It's going to be an all-day event starting at 10 a.m. It's free. It's fun. Raffles, draft advice. I think I'm emceeing. That's going to be weird. I've never done that before.
You're going to be walking around CBS scene with a wireless mic.
And a kitten.
There's a Patriots preseason game the night before and an MLS soccer game the day of.
So
lots of cool stuff to do around the event if you want to make a weekend out of it. Let us know if you're coming. We'd love to see you there.
Jamaal Charles, now a number one overall pick. No problems with it. They gave him a 2-year extension.
Yep.
Okay.
All that stuff that we talked about on Wednesday's podcast, out the window.
Ray Rice suspended for 2 games. Fantasy impact.
We don't have him for the first 2 weeks. That's not good.
Wait, what?
That's how it works.
Is that what that means?
It makes Bernard Pierce, you know, relevant to start the season. And if Pierce gets off to a hot start, it's going to be very troubling for Ray Rice to be the featured back. He will not sit on the bench, but he will lose touches, as we started to see toward the end of their Super Bowl season when Pierce came on and did a very nice job. So this is a great opportunity for Bernard Pierce. It's a great opportunity for anybody who owns Pierce in Dynasty or you know, long-form keeper leagues where you would still have him on a roster. And certainly if you're drafting and you want to target Bernard Pierce with the idea of being a flex, because I don't think you want to draft him as a starter, but the idea of being a flex, it's a good situation.
There's one problem. He's going to be their starter against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but it's still volume of work. Still volume of work. I mean, it's almost as if you're hoping for, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 carries or 20 touches, because he's not going to do a lot catching the ball, mm-hmm. but somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 touches, 80 total yards, and the chance to score.
You know, I just realized that Steelers game that he plays is a Thursday night game, which is typically when running backs do well. I don't know if it necessarily mm-hmm. translates that early in the season, but I would imagine it would.
So
Jamie and I just went through an exercise where we did a two-man mock draft, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term.
It's the pick-by-pick
right,
series.
Right. When we do our pick-by-pick series, you'll see the results, but it's kind of hard to – you'd have to go to every single page to see the results. But I ended up taking Ray Rice late round 4, Bernard Pierce late round 8. I like that plan if you decide to wait on Rice as your second running back, or if he just falls into your lap.
That's what I was going to ask. So late round
4.
I actually wouldn't have taken him there. I mean, I understand why he did, but
I needed a running back.
Yeah, I would have waited around to take him.
Okay, Justin Blackmon arrested for possession of marijuana. This is the third time Blackmon has been arrested. He's already suspended indefinitely for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy 3 times. So this is trouble for him. Are we thinking not going to play this year?
He's done.
Yeah, I don't know if he's done.
I would not count on him back in the NFL.
He's going to be gone for probably another season. This is not good.
And it makes
the Jaguars Marquise have said they're not Lee, getting rid of him, though.
It makes their young receivers more attractive in dynasty drafts, right?
Well, the fact that the Jaguars aren't giving up on him yet by cutting him, that still says that they're going to try and, you know, rehabilitate this kid. But, you know, he continues to step in the wrong direction, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame. Who do you like better, Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee?
I think Robinson's better for this year. Lee's probably better long-term, but he's got to prove that, A, the quarterback situation at USC last year was part of his problems and the injuries as well.
I like Robinson better.
Vernon Davis reported to camp. That's good. We said that yesterday on the podcast, but never mentioned that Alex Boone, one of their offensive guards, is holding out. So how does that affect anything, if anything, for you? How does that affect Niners?
He might be there. He's no better than their 4th best offensive lineman.
Okay.
And might be their 5th best offensive lineman. Good starter, good player. I don't see them breaking on him. I don't think they're going to go and make him one of the highest paid guards in the league.
So not as impactful as, say, Mike Pouncey, Dolphin center, being out perhaps half the season.
Yeah, that would be far more impactful.
Yeah.
And yet another strike against the Dolphins run game.
Right. And
'cause that is the Dolphins best offensive lineman. No offense, Brandon.
And their offense in general was so hampered by the offensive line last year. So, you know, does this make you pull back on Mike Wallace and Ryan Tannehill as a sleeper or anything like that? Is this impactful news here?
I don't think there's any Dolphin that you could say definitively is a starter for fantasy owners. I mean, you know, you could say Marino's a flex, Lamar Miller's a flex, Wallace is a third receiver in a 3-receiver leagues. But there's no one that I think you're saying, okay, Week 1, I'm starting this Miami Dolphins player. And as a result, if Pouncey comes back by Week 8, maybe by that point in the season you are starting the Dolphins guys. You know, Hartline in a PPR league coming off consecutive 70-catch seasons. Depending on the quarterback you take, Tannehill's a bye-week replacement at that point as well. So
I think you still look at them in the same regard. Maybe the running backs get dropped down a few spots. You know, if you're talking about, like, I have Moreno 37, I believe it is, and Miller, like, early 40s. You know, so maybe they go from 37 to 39 and 41 to 43, 44. But I don't view any of the Dolphins as starters.
Does Jarvis Landry affect Brian Hartline?
No.
Potentially, but probably not.
He would be their third receiver. I mean, that third receiver competition, you know, if you're talking about deep, deep, deep leagues, because Brandon Gibson was good last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can talk about his overall play before the injury, but he was, you know, 6 points in standard leagues, I think, for 3 weeks in a row. And dynasty leagues, he was double digits. So they missed him when he got hurt.
Sidney Rice is retiring.
Shame.
Josh Gordon will appeal his one-year suspension August 1st.
Shame, shame.
Good luck with that.
Atlanta, but you don't necessarily think it's going to be a year, do you? I mean, you drafted him, didn't you, in our recent mock?
I did. Like 10th or 11th round? I did, but I did it just on a whim. Round 11, what have you got to lose?
Okay.
That's kind of why I did it. I don't think I'd do it again. Now.
And Atlanta signed Roddy White to a 4-year extension. I think $10 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And good, a good sign job, that Roddy that White. Team, it's a sign that that team still believes in him. Still
do
thinks
you guys
he has,
believe in him?
Yes.
I do. Yeah, I think Roddy White's one of the better value picks on draft day. Right,
I agree.
Now.
A wonderful
Why?
Number
Why do,
two fantasy
Do you
fantasy
think he'll
wide
be
receiver.
Able to... I know he was good at the end of last year, but obviously they didn't have Julio Jones.
It was like 53 catches for 500 yards and 2 touchdowns in his last 5 games.
But you know, I mean, there's a big but there.
But he was healthy?
No, Julio Jones wasn't. Look at his targets in the first
five
games
go back,
of the season.
Go back
2,
to
4,
the
4,
first.
9,
but
4.
Who was the Roddy White you saw before that, though?
An injured one?
Yeah, he couldn't even cut. He looked terrible. He didn't belong out there.
You got to look at 2 years ago. That's the Roddy White you're hoping for.
Yeah. And just impressive, 14 or more fantasy points, 3 of his last 5 games, 7 or more. I don't know if that means anything to you. 4 of his last 5.
No, I mean, 8 catches for 74 yards is a pretty good game. That's what he did at Green Bay. Didn't score, but it's good stuff.
Think that's going to be a bad game for Roddy White this year.
Any other news, notes? Whoa.
Cam's cleared.
You think 7 points is going to be a bad game for Roddy White this year?
I think that'll be one of his worst games. I think I'll go back to 2013. Or 2012, rather.
Right, but he was hurt last year.
Right.
So aren't you concerned that he's...
He was a top 10 receiver in 2012, produced 10 or more fantasy points half the time.
This is a 10-year veteran now who was injured in his ninth year.
As long as he stays healthy through camp, I've got no problem taking him.
Well, the value on him now, by comparatively to where he was last year, is it's like what we talk about with C.J. Spiller. You're not investing...
Yeah.
You're not investing those... That, you know, Roddy White was essentially in the third round.
He's getting
Roddy White in the end of the fourth, fifth round.
End of the fifth, yeah.
Oh,
he's going.
Well, that'll change as he goes through camp healthy.
He's going ahead of Michael Floyd, DeSean Jackson, Percy Harvin, Emmanuel Sanders, Julian Edelman.
I agree with all those except Floyd.
Dave? Roddy White, Michael Floyd, DeSean Jackson, Percy Harvin, Emmanuel Sanders.
I might have Sanders ranked ahead of him, but I'm bullish on Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to have a monster year. I got Sanders and Floyd ahead of Roddy White. That's it.
Let's talk about some old faces and new places. The column is up on the website. It is Jamie's column. I was going to do a Dave article today for the show since it's, you know, your birthday. But most of the Dave articles we talk about when we break down the position previews, like, you know, all the tiers and whatnot. So Jamie's got a bunch of quarterbacks, running backs, blah, 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 blah. So the first guy to talk about is Josh McCown, who is going from the Bears to the Buccaneers. And Josh McCown, you look at his point production in 5 games in which he attempted 31 passes or more, 24, 14, 22, 26, and 46 fantasy points. It was really good. Can he be good this year, Jamie?
Not like that. I mean, it's a total change in system. Mark Trestman's system last year was amazing and will be amazing. And not that Jeff Tedford's system in Tampa Bay is going to be horrible, but that team doesn't want to throw the ball as much as the Bears did. And the Bears were, a lot of it was by circumstance because their defense was horrible. So Tampa Bay's defense is much better this year than the Bears were last year. So I think you're looking at, you got to look at McCown's history, you know, when he's had opportunities to start. And he's worked with some very good receivers. I mean, his time in Arizona with Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin last year with the 2 Bears guys. He's got good receivers here, but I mean, Mike Evans is going to be a good player, but he's still a rookie receiver. You don't know what you're going to get there. We talked about this yesterday with the tight ends, which one of the guys is going to emerge.
Right.
Vincent Jackson is going to put up numbers, but I still think this is a run-first offense because of Lovie Smith.
So of the four quarterbacks you have in this column, you have McCown, who only threw one pick last year after coming into the year with more interceptions than touchdowns. Michael Vick to the Jets, Matt Schaub to the Raiders, Ryan Fitzpatrick to the Texans. Are any of these guys fantasy relevant, 12-team, even a 14-team league?
I would say McCown in the 14-team league is going to get drafted as a backup, potentially.
And the other three, just forget them?
Yeah, I mean, Vick is not guaranteed the starting job and is looking like he's not going to be the starter. You know, Schaub, probably in a 16-team league, is going to get drafted as a backup if people go that route. So that's really it. Fitzpatrick, I think, same thing, depending on how deep the league is.
I think two of the rookies will get picked before almost all those guys, McCown obviously being the exception.
Yep.
All right, how about the running backs then? A little bit more
interesting. I think that if we're just talking pure football, I think McCown will be somewhere in between where he was last year and his stint with the Bears and being a terrible quarterback. I think he'll be okay.
Okay.
And I think he's going to end up having to throw a lot. It might just not be how the Buccaneers want it to be. Why would you spend a pick on him in fantasy football? Why would you do it? In a 12-team league, why would you do it when you know that there's 18 other quarterbacks or more? You know, he's ranked 21st for me. Maybe I move him to 20th. There's 19 other quarterbacks I could find and be happier with than Josh McCown.
So then
he's a risk not worth taking.
The running backs are Toby Gerhart to the Jags, Ben Tate to the Browns, Chris Johnson to the Jets, Rashad Jennings to the Giants. Let's stop there and talk about the Giants running back situation, guys. Maurice Jones-Drew to the Raiders, Noshawn Marino to the Dolphins, LeGarrette Blount, the Steelers, Sproles to the Eagles, Brown to the Chargers. There's sort of a different type of running back once you get to Blount, Sproles, and Brown. So who benefits the most from a change of scenery? Gerhart, Tate, obviously are 1 and 2, right?
And Jennings.
And Jennings?
Yeah.
Gerhart is your favorite on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been good when Peterson's been down. I mean, last year, 15 carries, 89 yards, and a touchdown in week 15. 2011, he had four pretty good games without Peterson. Well, let's say three pretty good games. Anything to say about these guys? Go for it.
I think you're right.
These guys?
Yeah.
The group?
Who do you want to talk about?
Well, I think in a nutshell, everybody kind of knows how we feel about Toby Gerhart and how he's landed in this situation in Jacksonville where he's going to have a chance to be a heavy carry back, and there's great potential in that for fantasy owners, and that's what makes him appealing for fantasy football. He's on probably the worst team in the NFL to be in that position, maybe Oakland's worse off, but he's a physical, mean runner, and he could still put up some good yardage week to week, even without the best offensive line or the best quarterback forcing defenses to play off of him. Whether or not he survives the season is a little bit of a question mark, but he's going to go between 30th and 45th overall, I think, in pretty much every draft.
Jacksonville had the third worst rushing offense in the NFL last year, but they signed Zane Beatles, and they drafted Brandon Linder in the third round, so they'll shore up the interior of the offensive line a little bit.
They also, I believe, it's a stat on Pro Football Focus about what their yards per carry is with Mercedes Lewis on the field comparatively to when he's not, because he's a good blocking tight end. Mm. And if you look at Jones-Drew, again, the performance was ugly. You know, under 4 yards a carry. Didn't look like he had a lot of burst going through the hole.
that was me drinking water.
You do whatever you want, Dave. It's your birthday.
Struggled as a running back from an eye test standpoint. But he was the 20th best fantasy running back. This is now every year that he's played 16 games in Jones-Drew's career that he's been a top 20 running back but one when he got hurt. So that's kind of where you have to look at Gerhart. You know, he's going to be probably 20-plus if he can survive the season. You know, 20 up.
But does he have – this might sound crazy, but does he have, like, top 8 potential?
Well, I think a lot of people – you know, Larry Hartstein, one of our fantasy guys, did a blog on comparing him to Michael Turner and the circumstances. Age is similar when they switch teams. Kit number of carries similar when they switch teams. And that's the hope, is that out of the shadow of, at the time, the best running back in the NFL or, you know, one of the top guys, and gets a chance to start and takes advantage of it. And as you pointed out, you know, the numbers when he's gotten work
are good. They're not great. You know, you're not talking about 20 for, you know, 180. You're talking about 20 for 90. You know, that
19
that,
for 90. Yeah. And he's shown, actually, that he can catch passes, too.
Yeah, I think you got to look at it as, you know, and I know our audience that's been following us all offseason. I didn't like the signing because of them going and making him the first running back off the board. But clearly they like what they see.
Yeah.
You know, they like the talent, the skill level, the potential. And so, you know, Dave said the worst team in the NFL. That might be right, but it's also a miserable division. I mean, Tennessee's run defense is going to be bad. Indianapolis' run defense has been suspect. You know, we'll see if it shores up this year. And Houston, look, if Brian Cushing can't stay healthy, that's going to be a bad run defense too. So he's in a good division to make some production of those six games. So, you know, I think round three is when you have to start to target him if it's a running back heavy draft. Like Dave mentioned, the draft we just did, I took him in round three because he was the best guy on the board.
All right, so how about Ben Tate? How you guys feeling about him right now?
I mean, I'm not the biggest Ben Tate fan right now. You know, I know that's a change from a year ago when I was like, oh, Ben Tate, great sleeper. I'm taking him in every draft. I just see Terrence West as such a huge threat right now, and that's an issue for me.
I think he's the more attractive running back, and I think people would rather have Ben Tate they would rather have Terrence West in round 7 than Ben Tate in round 6. Round 5.
I think that's kind of it's probably a 50-50 split.
You think so? People would still rather have Tate?
I think people see Ben Tate's numbers, yards per carry, the fact that he was the guy that they signed. You know, that he's the name you know.
Well, if you make a case for him, he obviously struggled last year, but he was playing hurt, right?
But he's always playing hurt. That's the thing. Right, it's right. Like he has a really hard time staying healthy, whether it's missing games or just playing through injuries. Like last year, he was in a contract year, had the opportunity to start, played through the rib injury. Probably this year, if he has that same rib injury, he may be sitting. I know his contract structure is such that he needs to play to get paid, but he still has at least some money in his pocket to carry him through, whereas he may not be able to gut it out like he did a year ago. You know, I don't want to speak for his psyche. But
yeah, yeah. I'm a little surprised that Chris Johnson's going ahead of Ben Tate.
Oh, that's name value.
I think that is, too.
So that shouldn't be the case, right?
I think Chris Johnson, based on what we know about how he's performed the last 3 years and how he gets off to a slow start, I don't think you draft him if you can help it. Like, if you're stuck and it's round 5, round 6, and there's really nobody else you like, you know, maybe Chris Johnson has a shot at 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns. And maybe you take him on that merit alone. I don't want to stump for him on draft day. I would argue that he's a guy you trade for.
See, I totally disagree for this season. Because their schedule is so favorable
early
out of the gate. Their first 4 games are very favorable from a run defense standpoint. And
I don't know if I agree with that.
And if Chris Ivory is healthy, which right now he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring problem, the more likelihood of Chris Ivory getting hurt is later in the year.
Oh, no, their schedule is pretty good out of the gate. Yes. Oakland at home, right. At Green Bay, and then it gets tough, Chicago and Detroit.
Yeah, but you and I differ on the Chicago run defense.
I think run defense is going to be – it can't get any worse.
No, I don't think it's going to be worse, but I still think it's bad.
Yeah, and then they're at San Diego. That's not too hard. Later on in the season – see, I look at later on at Buffalo. I think that's a layup. Miami at home, I think he'll do okay. At Minnesota, I think that should be okay. Same thing with at Tennessee. Week 16 versus New England, that could be very tough.
But I'm also concerned –
that'll be tough because they're going to be playing from behind.
Age with him. You know, he had played through this knee injury last year that didn't come to light until after the season. Then he had to have surgery on his meniscus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's looked good in the conditioning test that he took part in on Wednesday. Rex Ryan apparently said he was flying. So straight line speed is not going to be an issue for him. It's, you know.
Everything else.
It's what happens as the year goes on that makes me more concerned. That's why I wouldn't say I'm planning to trade for Chris Johnson. If I want Chris Johnson, I'd rather see what I have early on and then play it out. Otherwise, you know, maybe I can sell him to somebody else that's thinking along your line, Dave, that he will turn it around because that's his history.
Yeah.
But I don't want to deal with that. I'd rather try and get him right away.
Now, you can make a lot of cases for or against Chris Johnson, I think. And I think the knee injury is one example. You can say he's coming off knee surgery, or you could say he played all of last year with a knee injury and now he might be
healthy.
Still
had 1,400 total yards, but he was in a situation where the Titans really couldn't afford to get him off the field.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you weren't pleased with his performance last year, you can say, well, he had the knee injury. Now he's got the knee surgery. Maybe you can look at it different ways. There was one stat, though, that I came across with Chris Johnson that is very negative to me, and there's no sugarcoating it. 20 rushes of 20-plus yards over the last five seasons. 22 to 13 to 11 to 8 to 5. His explosiveness is clearly not there anymore.
Well, yeah, and the other part of it is that, you know, we're throwing out the total yards. We're throwing out, you know, where he finished a year ago. He set career high numbers with receiving touchdowns. His receiving numbers were, you know, very good. And I do think if you're talking about between Johnson and Ivory, clearly Chris Johnson is the better receiver. There's no sugarcoating that. But they do have Bilal Powell to play that role. Whether they go to him or not remains to be seen. They also picked up, after he was cut, Daryl Richardson. So that's another guy that could play that role if needed as well, depending on who wins that third running back job. So I don't think you're going to see him make the production as a receiver like we saw a year ago, certainly from the receiving touchdown aspect.
Right, he had some long receiving.
Well, he had a career-high four receiving touchdowns. I think the three previous years he combined for four touchdowns.
Yeah, right. Seems fluky. We've talked a lot about Rashad Jennings, but I do want to go over this ADP, and you tell me what you guys think of this group of running backs. It goes Chris Johnson, Ben Tate, Trent Richardson, Rashad Jennings. Three of the four guys in the column. Chris Johnson, Ben Tate, Trent Richardson, who's not changing places, although he kind of is, gets to training camp with Indianapolis, Rashad Jennings.
Just while you bring up Richardson, there was a note that Chuck Pagano said today in his media session that he wants a bell cow running back, but he's not opposed to a committee. I think it's Trent Richardson's guy,
yeah.
You know, and if
opportunity.
Not, and if not, they're going to go with Ahmad Bradshaw and Vic Ballard. So, I mean, you know, I know Adam, you and I are on the same page, and I think Dave's going to come around eventually that Trent Richardson is the best of that group.
What do you think, Dave? Is he better than Chris Johnson, Ben Tate, and Rashad Jennings?
I've got him behind Johnson and Jennings and ahead of Tate.
Are they all pretty close?
Yes. They're all non-number two fantasy running backs.
Non-number two? They're flexes?
They're flexes.
It's funny because in that draft that Dave and I did, there were two situations where I came across something we've talked about in relation to you've done, Adam. One was I took Jimmy Graham. What was it, six?
I think it was six.
Took Jimmy Graham at six? No, seven, because you took Lacy at five. Or you took Lacy at six.
Whatever. Yeah. It was like six or seven,
right.
Somewhere in there.
And then I took Doug Martin in the second round. And I forget how I played it out the rest of the way, if you want to bring
it
up.
So you drafted my team.
But I did a better job
but
the rest of the way. And then at first overall, I took Charles. It was definitely seven. At first overall, I took Charles. And then I took Jordy Nelson and Rob Gronkowski with my next two picks on the swing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm chasing running back. And then at 4-5, I went Steven Ridley, Trent Richardson back-to-back.
To go with Jamal Charles.
Right.
So that's great because you're hoping for one of those two.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Ridley or Richardson to be your number
right.
two.
Right. I initially, you know, Dave and I obviously are talking through this because we want this to be as reflective to help people as possibly can. Now, the players don't necessarily matter as much as the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, we're sometimes backing up picks and, you know, oh, I missed this guy. So we're doing it strictly by our rankings. We're not doing it in the draft room. And I think at one point I had Michael Floyd and Ridley. And I said, no, I let me take that back. And I took Ridley and Richardson.
All right.
The Jimmy Graham team, first five picks, Jimmy Graham, Doug Martin, Toby Gerhart in round three, and then Keenan Allen and Victor Cruz, 4-5. So it's a pretty good team.
So you went Gerhart 3, I went Antonio Brown 3.
Right.
Right. And then who did I take in the fourth
round? Toby Gerhart, 31st overall.
A running back that I didn't love. Oh, it was Richardson.
Yeah.
As my number two. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
How about those other running backs? MJD, Knowshon Moreno, Blount, Sproles, Donald Brown.
Those are all dudes you're going to draft with a pit in your stomach, and there's really nobody else left. That's pretty much it.
Does MJD have one good year left in him?
Define good.
Top 20 running back.
He could get there by default.
Yeah.
I think there's, you know, again, depends on how you want to approach the MJD situation. I don't like the way he played last year. I don't like that, you know, he's one of those guys that we've talked about, you know, going back and looking at a significant year of carries. Then he has the injury the following year, and he hasn't really rebounded to become the guy that you used to know about Maurice Jones-Drew.
Right.
It's very difficult to say Darren McFadden could stay healthy for any length of time, but McFadden's going to be a thorn in the side.
Mm-hmm.
And if not McFadden, maybe it's Latavius Murray, who's going to be the third guy there. They're going to be behind in a lot of games. So he's not going to – I don't think they're going to be the same team like the Jaguars were last year, where it's, okay, we're still trailing, but we're still going to run. you know, one of the good games Jones Drew had last year, which was surprising, was when they got blasted by Seattle, and he still got a late touchdown.
Yeah. But Rashad Jennings was good last year for the
Raiders. No, he was. And I think that's, again, depends on what side of the argument you want to come at. Eventually, Jones Drew is going to fall to a spot. Chris Johnson is going to fall to a spot. The guys that you don't like Dave said, a pit in your stomach, where you go, well, okay, I'll gamble on it here. I'll take him as my fourth running back.
Right, right.
You know, if in fact that's how it lands. Now, the problem is that most likely you're looking at him in that third running back range. And it's, okay, do I want to take Jones Drew here or gamble, wait around, and take a Terrence West, a Kyrie Robinson, a Devontae Freeman, somebody that has maybe more upside?
The Jaguars took one look at him and said, nah, we'd rather have Toby Gerhardt.
Well.
He also said that, which really makes me shy away from him, that he considered retiring.
Yeah.
This offseason. I can't tell you how much that I don't want to deal with anybody that's thinking that way.
And despite all that, last year he still finished in the top 20 among running backs. He was 19th.
I was thinking about retiring a couple months ago. Just,
you're kidding.
Well, no, it was really when I turned 30. I said, I think I'm
over the hill.
And yeah, I think I'm just going to hang him up. But I think so far the podcast has been great since I decided to stick around.
People that drafted you in their podcast host leagues are just, they're amazed at the value they're getting.
Being in a podcast host league. Okay, then, let's go on to the wide receivers. Golden Tate, Emmanuel Sanders, DeSean Jackson. Who are you most excited about? Golden Tate, Emmanuel Sanders, DeSean Jackson.
Well, the shoulder injury that Golden Tate's dealing with, it makes me nervous. But to me, it's Tate first, Sanders second, Jackson fifth.
Excuse me. All right, this I don't understand. I just don't understand. You are so anti-DeSean Jackson. He's a good player.
He's a very good player.
He's fast.
That doesn't mean I have to think he's a great fantasy receiver.
But he has been.
At times. At times he's been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you're so in love with Pierre Garçon. He was the most targeted receiver in the NFL
last
year.
That's why I'm so in love with Pierre
Garçon.
But
they have another guy now. They have DeSean Jackson. And RG3 has this amazing deep ball. He is going. This is a perfect match.
It's a really good match. You're right about that. I like Emmanuel Sanders. I like his match a little better.
Fine, I'm not going to argue that, but
and
I just don't
I think he's got a shot to really
dislike for DeSean Jackson.
It's not. I would be okay with DeSean Jackson as my third receiver, and in the draft Dave and I just did, I took Eric Decker as my third or fourth receiver because of just where he fell.
Right.
You know. So as much as I don't necessarily like these guys to be starters, I'm okay with them as reserves. So I would take Jackson. The problem is that when I look at average draft position, tell me where Jackson's going.
No.
Oh, all right. You do what I tell you when I tell you.
Hang on.
I will make
Dave
a man
asks
out of you.
Me, I will. DeSean Jackson is going in the beginning of the sixth round. Looks like he's around the 22nd-ish receiver off
See,
the board.
That to me is too high. I'm okay with the round, but the pick is too high.
Well, I've going ahead of Harvin and Emmanuel Sanders.
No chance.
Yeah, I like him ahead of Harvin because I don't know what to expect from Harvin. And then Emmanuel Sanders, I just think he's going to blow the doors off it.
You think Emmanuel Sanders is a top 20 wide receiver?
Yes.
Okay.
Why?
Because I think he's going to see a ton of single coverage, and I think he can beat that.
But he saw a ton of single coverage in Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah. He's got a better quarterback and a better scheme now, and I think they're going to throw more than Pittsburgh. I mean, listen, toward the end of last season, Pittsburgh was throwing
That's the thing I don't necessarily agree with, because I don't know.
If he's on the field, he's going to get action.
How far Pittsburgh was behind Denver in terms of when the offense changed in pass attempts.
Okay.
And single coverage. And at this point, I know it sounds like blasphemy, but you can argue. I'm sure you would agree with this, but I think the public would be surprised when I say this, that Ben Roethlisberger's downfield throwing is better than Peyton Manning's.
Who would argue that?
Peyton Manning?
No, everybody. No, he might be the worst downfield thrower in the NFL.
That's the thing, though. You don't think that. The average person doesn't.
I mean, he might be the best quarterback in the NFL, but he's not a good downfield thrower.
I still see a receiver in Emmanuel Sanders who has the quickness and speed to take it to the house.
Oh, I like Sanders. I just think that blow the doors off where he's been when he was, what, 60? Yeah.
So and 75 touchdowns.
That would be blowing the doors
last
off.
Last year was Sanders' career season,
right.
740
an average over four touchdowns a game.
And six touchdowns.
And he had.
Does he have more than six touchdowns in him?
Yes. He had three games with 10 or more fantasy points in his last six when the Steelers were hucking and chucking.
I'm surprised you like him better than Welker.
I'm worried about Welker. I'm worried about him staying healthy. Worried about him.
Is Sanders playing the Decker
role? I'm not worried about
his
restaurant, though. He's got a nice restaurant going for him in Oklahoma. What?
Is Sanders just filling Decker's shoes?
On the field, yes, but they're going to ask him to do different things. than what they asked Decker to do. He's not as big as Decker,
yeah,
but
Decker's
he's faster.
Yeah, Decker's got size on quicker. Sanders, for sure.
Ideally, Sanders is a slot receiver.
Right.
Yeah, but they have I wonder if he ends up there a little bit more.
That's the concern, is that I don't think they're taking Welker off the field.
Right,
healthy.
So maybe what if Welker went outside on a few plays?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And however, that opens it up
they
for
could,
Sanders.
They could put Thomas outside and put the other two guys inside and not go with the tight end.
Ooh,
you know, I mean, that's something.
I like that idea.
They're going to go with Latimer, too. You know, he's a big body receiver that can line up on the outside. I look at Sanders and I wonder where, you know, I think the 1,000 yards is an easy gamble to make. But does he go from 67 catches to 80? And does he go from 6 touchdowns to 8?
I didn't include Eric Decker with those three. Should I have? With Tate, Sanders, and Jackson?
Sure.
Or is he a tier below?
Well, you're talking about a guy that's a top 12 receiver each of the last two seasons.
Okay,
so.
But, you know, no, Sean Marino was his number 6
running. Yeah, no, I mean, but
right, again, I don't know, you guys don't believe in Decker.
The pro Decker supporters and Jets fans will say, well, he's going to make Geno Smith better. He's going to, you know, be a touchdown threat. I mean, Michael Hurkum, who's, you know, a very astute college football fan,
Herc Love,
says that, you know, always anytime we have a Decker discussion, brings up that he didn't have very good passing situations in Minnesota in college, you know, and he still put up decent numbers there.
That's a ridiculous argument.
But no, it's just that, you know, that he's been able to elevate beyond his circumstances in certain situations.
The question, well, I think the answer is an obvious yes, just but he is below those three. I mean, those three are like borderline number 2 receiver, something like that. Decker's at number 3, right?
Yes. I would not be surprised just based on, to me, DeSean Jackson's going to have to score a lot of touchdowns because you're not going to get the volume of work that he got a year ago in Chip Kelly's offense. So if Jackson scores 5 touchdowns, Decker should be better than.
Okay. What do you think, Dave? Decker, Jackson?
I'll take Jackson.
Big
Decker.
Difference?
I take Jackson, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Decker's better. Wouldn't shock me.
I don't want to rely on Decker. Like, Jamie took him, like, as the 3rd receiver in that draft we just did.
But it was late, though.
It was late.
Yeah.
That's when I feel better about Decker.
That was what,
in a PPR league,
round 7, round 8?
I could look it up if I felt up to it.
There's been a history of non-number 1 wide receivers leaving, becoming number 1 wide receivers.
Getting paid.
And not being
and
good.
Then,
yeah.
Decker was a 7th round pick. That would be a late 7th round pick.
By the way, I think everyone, or not everyone, I think there are going to be a bunch of people who hate what I said about Peyton Manning, him being the worst, arguably the worst downfield passer in the NFL.
There are many clips of passes that he throws that are just big, ugly wobblers. Yeah.
So all men is your starting quarterback.
They do.
But other than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They do make their target for whatever it's worth.
You're calling him helium balloon?
I'm not, but it's been said. All right, so Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith, James Jones. Let's finish up with 2 minutes here on these three wide receivers. Could Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith, or James Jones have a throwback season and be awesome?
No, I don't think awesome.
The only one that I like is Nicks. I think he could do it.
Do you think Nicks will be better than Reggie Wayne?
Yes.
No.
Reggie Wayne's interesting to me. He's...
Yeah, it's all comes down to just, you know, that's an old dog. He's been playing a long time, and now he's coming off the ACL. I'm nervous about him. I love him, but I'm nervous about him.
Okay.
And I think Nicks is healthier, in a way better situation than he was last year. And I think he can make a bunch of catches. He's a sleeper for me this year. And I don't mind taking him late. Which is a big 180 because
how late?
Past 2 years, I have not been a fan of his.
Yeah, well, he was going early.
I don't know. I think, like, where did I take him? I'll reference the draft we just did.
I took him.
But I was looking at him when you took him. You stole him from me, you punk. 3, 6, 9, round 10. Late round 10.
So would you go?
I'd be fine with early round 10. He's a backup receiver that you hope can strike up some numbers.
Tavon Austin or Hakeem Nicks?
Austin.
I think I have Nicks ahead of Austin. I do.
Wow. All right, then.
I know who has more upside, and I think it's fun to take the upside guys, but I think Nicks has some upside too. I wouldn't look at him as an old guy.
Here are things our listeners like about Dave in honor of his birthday. Gary Haddo says, Dave's voice makes me want to listen to cool jazz while I do my fantasy football analysis. Happy birthday, big guy.
Aw. That's not what I listen to when I do my
fantasy
analysis.
What do you listen to?
Oh, it varies, Adam. It varies.
You can listen to music, though, and concentrate?
It's got to be instrumentals.
Oh, really?
Maybe jazz. Jazz should make it.
Jazz, yeah.
Jazz could be in there, but...
All right, Gary,
usually
you.
It's like electronic dance music sometimes.
Nuh-uh.
Sometimes, yeah.
That
Dead
is
mouse.
Weird. Andrew Wood, I love Dave's singing. Makes me laugh and makes my singing look good. Big Nick, reasons Dave Richard is a good guy. One, he has two first names. Two, he rescues injured koala bears. And three, he knows Adam Azer's screen lock. Happy birthday.
One of those things is true.
The koala bears. Ethan B., some things I like about Dave Richard. His sunny disposition, and he likes Charles Sims.
Yeah, I do. Good sleeper.
James, I love that Dave knows every single city that exists in the Midwest. Dan Hagen, what I like most about Dave Richard, his constant love and support for Ghostbusters 2.
I would love to see Dave on Jeopardy with the category Midwest cities.
Oh, yeah.
I'd clean
for a
up.
1,000. Daily double. Adam C. Johnson, when I hear Dave's voice, it makes me think that I'm about to hear the adventures of Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin.
That's weird. That's
I can see you narrating. Clip.
You should narrate Naughty Nana to
the podcast audience.
Yeah.
Or a cartoon.
He has that dad-like quality that keeps the podcast in check when the kids, Adam and Jamie, go off the rails. Actually, that's me most of the time.
Yeah. Usually Jamie and I are the ones going off the rails.
Here's GlennonGetsGirls.com. Don't visit there because I don't want to send you guys to an NSFW website.
You want me to check it out right now?
Sure.
What's it called?
GlennonGetsGirls.com.
Can you? Let's see what I got.
He knows Dave knows how to make a man out of Adam.
No, there's no website, GlennonGetsGirls.com.
All right.
Google will. Chrome could not find GlennonGetsGirls.com.
And,
that sounds like a guy who gets a lot of girls.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, Charlie Haycock says, I can't confirm this, but I feel like Dave would be the ultimate wingman. I can see that, yeah.
I can remember times where I was a good wingman.
Jeff Crisco, his eternal optimism
I took a lot of bullets in college.
Jeff Crisco, Dave's eternal optimism that NFL stars are winning the lottery and retiring, and pessimism of them being abducted by aliens. And finally, Josh Krohn's. The look of disappointment on his face when Jamie throws fries and the way he sings Herc Love. Ringtone, anyone?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, everybody. Let's read some emails. We're going to start doing Mailbag Mondays. We'll come back from weekends with some news roundups and Mailbag Mondays. So the email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. We've been getting more emails this year. This time of year, I can't believe how many emails we've gotten, so I really do appreciate all the support from everyone. Here is an email from AJ in Prescott, Arizona. Dear Hank, Kerry, and Philip. Anyone?
Hank, Kerry, Philip.
I have no idea. Wondering for some outside the rankings perspective here. I'm noticing when I do my mock drafts, there are many instances when I'm stuck between choosing a young, up-and-coming talent at wide receiver versus choosing an established, maybe less exciting, older wide receiver. A perfect example would be choosing between Cordarrelle Patterson and Roddy White. Some input on these other wide receiver decisions I'm finding myself faced with. Randall Cobb versus Vincent Jackson. Michael Floyd versus Cruz, Garcon, Deshaun Jackson, and Larry Fitzgerald. Michael Crabtree versus Roddy White. Kendall Wright versus Welker, Wallace, Decker, Colston. And Dave, you were kind of just talking about this with the
Right.
Knicks versus Tavon Austin.
That's like a more extreme later round situation. And I can see somebody saying, well, it's round 10. Let's shoot for the moon. Let's go with Tavon Austin over Hakeem Nicks. Now, I wouldn't do it, but I understand why Jamie would take Austin over Nicks. In these situations, I don't know. I'll go with the guy that I think is going to have better numbers. In a lot of these cases, I'll go with the guy that's got the better quarterback. Now, it's interesting, Michael Floyd versus Larry Fitzgerald, because they have the same quarterback. But I think Larry Fitzgerald still has the track record to produce more touchdowns and be a little bit more consistent in the offense compared to Floyd.
I certainly think philosophically speaking, if we can even call it speaking, it's easier to take upside risks later in the draft. But when you're in round 3 or round 4 or round 5, whatever it is, and you're thinking, do I take Cordell? I mean, you guys are taking Patterson over Roddy White, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's not the best example because that's an easy one for them, but
well, I can understand.
Randall Cobb versus Vincent Jackson's a good one. Oh no, yeah, it's you guys would take Cobb over Jackson any day of the week.
We would.
Is there a good Cordarrelle Patterson or
Wes Welker
or Larry Fitzgerald? Maybe. Are they similar?
Well, I'll tell you what. Right now, where I'm struggling with is Patterson versus Andre Johnson.
Okay,
because
that's perfect.
I'm not an Andre Johnson fan this year because you know I see the touchdown totals, I see the quarterback situation, and I see an unhappy guy. And you know I'm concerned: is he going to pull a DeSean Jackson of just go through the motions, hope that they trade him at the end of the season because they're not going to do it now, and get him out of his contract where it's not the same silliness right now that he feels he doesn't want to be a part of anymore. So, do I swing for the fences with Patterson at the spot where Andre Johnson's falling, which is around 4, and take the upside? So, I can understand Roddy White over Patterson, you know, because as we just said, Roddy White was a very good, if not great, receiver toward the end of last year when he finally started to get healthy. He's going to be healthy this year. He's going to get a lot of single coverage. He's going to get a lot of secondary coverage because the number one guy is going to be on Julio Jones. So, if you don't feel comfortable with Patterson or Floyd, those are two guys I have ranked ahead of Roddy White, for example, or Emmanuel Sanders like Dave has over Roddy White. That's another young guy that's, you know, up and coming by comparison. Then go the safe route. Roddy White's going to be in the same statistical range as those guys if they all hit. But as Adam, one of you pointed out, you know, he's X amount number of years in the league. He's been, you know, banged up. Groin problem, or what was last year? Ankle and then hamstring for Roddy. So, you know, these things are going to start to catch up to him. And there's obviously going to be a target favor toward Julio. So I can make a case for either guy. For me, I just see the upside in somebody like Patterson, the upside in somebody like Floyd, and I think that's better. Now, Floyd versus Fitzgerald, as Dave said, same quarterback. But if you're sort of looking at your team, and let's say you go running back, receiver, Fitzgerald's ADP is where? Is it third round or fourth round? I hope it's fourth round, but I'm not going to be surprised.
Larry Fitzgerald is
the
fourth
round. I bet it's real close.
Mid-fourth.
What is it? Mid-40.
Okay, so mid-fourth. So let's say you go running back, receiver, running back, right? You go LeSean McCoy. Where's he going? Where's Fitzgerald? I want to make
40th. So that would be early, like fourth pick of round 4.
Okay.
Which would be, so toward the end of the draft. So you're
right.
Taking
So let's say
Monte
you go
Ball.
You go Monte Ball, round 1. Dez Bryant, round 2. Round 3, you go Bishop Sankey, let's just say. And now it comes back to you round 4. And you say, okay, I could either take Larry Fitzgerald here, and what's Floyd's ADP?
A lot later, two rounds later.
Okay, so you have your two running backs and your number one receiver. Maybe you take your third running back there, or a tight end. Maybe that's where the Julius Thomas Gronkowski range is. I don't know. Or your quarterback. And say, I think the value for Floyd, which I do, is better than where I have to take Fitzgerald. I think when it's all said and done, Floyd 2 rounds later, with what you can get in round 4, is better than Fitzgerald.
But answering this specific question, he's not talking about waiting 2 rounds on upside. He's talking about taking it right now. Do I go with the upside play of Cordarrelle Patterson, or do I go with Roddy White?
No, I'm just talking about the two Cardinals guys.
I
understand what we were addressing here, but I think you're looking at just the Cardinals guys. I would rather pass on Larry Fitzgerald. Unless he's my number one. Like, if Fitzgerald's the best receiver, like, if I've gone, you know, running back, tight end, or quarterback in the mix, I would take Fitzgerald over Floyd because there's a safety factor there.
Yeah.
But if it's talking about my second receiver,
right,
I'll pass on Fitzgerald, take something else there, and get Floyd a little later.
The later you are in the draft and the better you feel about your team, the easier it is to take upside shots, I think.
Mm-hmm. Or just the later in the draft in general.
And
for sure. Yeah, those two separate thoughts there. Later in the draft, for sure, and I think if you feel good about your team, then you can really swing for the fences.
Just on the Kendall Wright one, the only guy of the guys he mentioned I would take over Wright would be Welker.
You like Wright better than Wallace, Decker, and Colston?
Yes.
Dave? Kendall Wright, Mike Wallace, Eric Decker, Marcus Colston.
I've got them ranked. Looks like it's Wallace. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Colston, Decker, Wright.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Kendall Wright. And
I'd love to see him score more touchdowns.
All he needs is 5.
All right, let's move on here. Matt from Massachusetts.
Along with 96 catches for 1,200 yards.
No, I don't think so. I think if you get 85-plus, which he's capable of, and you get 1,000-plus, just going by last year, if he were to score 5 touchdowns, he's a top 22. I think he's 21 or 22. Just with the same numbers, 3 more touchdowns. Puts him at 21, if I remember correctly.
Don't look annoyed, Adam.
Matt from Massachusetts. I'm not sure what to make of Alfred Morris this year. Does the potent-looking passing offense open things up for Morris? Does Jay Gruden's focus on passing reduce his carries? Does the shift from a zone blocking scheme to a power running scheme change his value at all? I'm potentially looking at him 13th in a 10-team standard league, but the uncertainty has me wondering if I should look elsewhere.
Well, as the flag carrier for Alfred Morris in fantasy football for many years, when the DeSean Jackson trade went down, right, it's only been 2 years, when that DeSean Jackson trade went down, Matt's first point about does the potent-looking passing offense open things up for Morris, that was all I saw. Because now the safeties have to play back, and I still think it has to be that way no matter what. And that's going to open up a world of possibilities for whoever the running back is, whether it's Alfred Morris or whoever else. I dug into Jay Gruden, and even though Jay Gruden, I mean, 2 years ago, I want to say Ben Jarvis had over 270 carries. Does that sound right to you? Mm-hmm. And then last year he didn't, but he still had a lot, and I know that Gio had a lot. And I know there isn't another running back right now in Washington that's going to get close to the kind of split with Alf that Gio and Green Ellis had last year. Okay, it's going to take somebody really stepping it up in training camp and Alf not getting used to this new blocking scheme. And if that happens, I think we'll see it in the preseason. I think we'll have to make note. Otherwise, if Alfred Morris is still getting 270 carries over the course of the season, and I know he's not going to get a bunch of catches, he's going to see a lot of 6 and 7 man fronts. I think he can do it.
And I think RG3 being able to run better will help him, don't you think? If they run.
They don't want to call a lot of designed running plays for RG3. In fact, I bet we see very few of them outside of the red zone.
No zone read stuff?
I don't think you'll see much of any zone read anymore.
My concern for Alfred Morris is that I don't think the scheme change is going to impact him too much because, as Dave said, there's nobody really to take him off the field except for this scenario. If their defense is as bad as it was last year and they're trailing in games, he's going to come off the field because I think you'll see, based on his pass protection, based on his receiving skills, Roy Helu will fit better. He won't play better, but he'll fit better.
And it doesn't mean Helu is going to get 10 carries
right.
a game.
Right. It's not
he'll get some catches.
Right.
But Jamie's right. This is where the worry about Alf comes.
Right. And, you know, the fact that we don't know if Alfred Morris can catch. He looked very capable in the Pro Bowl. But
he can catch.
Yeah, well, he's not going to be Giovanni Bernard or Reggie Bush. He's not, or Darren Sproles, one of these guys. But I think, you know, I asked Jay Gruden this, will they use him more as a receiver? And he said, I can see Alfred Morris being a 20 to 25 catch guy. I don't think he's going to get to 25, but I think 15. This is a guy with 20 career catches through 2 years. 15 is reasonable just because of what this offense will do with him on the
field.
Of course it's nothing. But if he can get you 15 catches, that means he's on the field a heck of a lot more than he has been in passing situations the last couple of years, especially when Helu's been healthy. So if he's on the field more, it just will fall into production.
Yeah.
So
right.
I think what you got from him last year, which was 276 and 1,300 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns, to me that's 13 to 15. Like, you're a little bit too bullish for my taste to take him 8 through 12.
As a top 10.
Right.
Right.
But I think 10 through 15, if it's all running backs, you know, early and you don't want to take Calvin or Graham or Peyton, then you have to start to put Morris in the conversation of Gio and Bell and Foster and those guys. Now, PPR is totally different. You know, I do a spot on the Redskins radio network out of Richmond, and they're at training camp today, and they're asking me questions about the Redskins. And the question was posed, where is Alfred Morris in a PPR league if they do throw to him a little bit more? And if you say right now, if Jay Gruden is 100% accurate, 25 catches for Alfred Morris, he goes from a round 3-4 pick in PPR to round 2. Easy.
That's Jamie.
I don't know
that's
about
15
that.
Extra
yeah,
points.
The 15 extra points is just the catches. But you're also, again, he will be on the field in more situations. There'll be draws. There'll be delayed handoffs. There'll be whatever read option they still run. He'll touch the ball more carrying it on top of being on the field. It's just a matter of playing time because he's not going to, it's third and long. There's Alfred Morris. Well, he's going to catch. No, it's not going to happen. But they may be in hurry-up situations. They may be in certain he may get an extra touchdown out of it.
All right.
So I think you just have to sort of play out the scenario of if they use him more in these situations, and we'll find out in training camp. You know, the reports will come out. Well, look, there's third down package. There's Alfred Morris.
Their schedule outside of when they play the NFC West, I don't think it's that bad. I think there's going to be a lot of games
Well, don't discount John Beeson, the Giants.
Sorry, Giants fan.
Excuse me. Did you see how good their run defense was last year?
It was with John Beeson.
As soon as they got him, they shut down McCoy. They shut down Forte. They were the best. They were the best, baby. No, it was, seriously, they were really good.
They were very good Joseph, with John Beeson.
All right, last email. Happy birthday, Dave, from Nick in Cromwell, Connecticut.
All right.
Dear Dave, Carter, and Boyd. I got to look up the first one, too. Need help picking my running back and wide receiver keepers. Draft cost goes up one round every year. You keep the same player. So a 12 every year you keep the same player. 12-team, non-PPR keeper league. Pick one from each position. Jamal Charles, round one. Giovanni Bernard, round seven. And it's pick nine for Jamal Charles.
And you can keep Giovanni now for potentially seven more years if he remained a first-round pick.
Can I ask a question going forward?
Yeah.
If people are sending this and they know already, can you please put your draft position?
Like this guy did.
Like this guy.
He did?
Yeah. Round nine. Round one, pick nine.
No, not the player. Where they're picking in round one. Where Nick
is picking. Well, it sounds like it's going to be pick nine.
That's how I interpreted it. If he's keeping...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I read it wrong. Yes, you're right. He did specify. Thank you. I apologize.
All right. So,
but for the keeper guys, let us know where you're picking.
Yeah.
Like this guy did. I apologize, Nick.
All right, guys. We seriously have 20 seconds.
I'm going to go with Gio.
Yeah. Agree.
And Crabtree in round 10 or Keenan Allen in round 11.
I'm going to go with Crabtree.
Agree.
And breaking news from Joe Polito, our social media guy. Dave has the same birthday as Karl Malone.
I knew that. Barry Bonds as well.
Really?
Yep. How Dante Whitner as well.
Wow.
The Cleveland Browns.
You've got all of the sports covered. Soccer?
Hulk,
let's just say.
Kaka.
happy birthday, buddy. You're a great friend.
Thank you, man. Thank you for not bringing in something crazy.
All right, bring it in, guys. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday with a mailbag news show. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for listening. For Dave Richard and Jamie Eisberg, I'm Adam Azer. Adios.
Bye.